find a comforting place within your bosom.
Yes, Jesus.
And guide us during this time.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So like Ms. Ryan said earlier, this is Foundations Month. And during the month of August, first of all, I can see y'all when I have you guys. Y'all are 44 people all in one. It's Foundations Month. So during Foundations Month, what usually goes down is that our starting pitcher goes and takes the bench for a little while, and he brings in the relief staff. So he's called up the bullpen, so a few of us will be coming through throughout the month of August. So for those of you that are new, I am not Pastor Dan Bailey. He's the good-looking fellow on the second row over here. So you will be hearing from a few of us, a number of your elders, as well as Deaconess Grace White. So we are really looking forward to this month. So you only have the relief pitchers for a few Sundays, and then after that, you know, we'll bring the starting pitcher back in. All right? While we're doing that, we were here for a beautiful wedding. Pastor's second to the last door. There's one more. If she ever gets married, then we'll have her in here as well. But, you know, we have pastor's daughter that got married. That's the baby, right?
Yeah.
That is the baby.
Okay, good.
So, baby got married, so we have a few babies here today. So, if you were a part of the Lassiter wedding yesterday, please stand so we can just acknowledge you. All right, George, you. No, I ain't gonna embarrass you yet. Also, last week we didn't get an opportunity, but I had our BBS folks to kind of stand, and they weren't in here. And so they are here today.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that they were acknowledged for how fabulous it looked, how great of a job that you had done, how much you had blessed our kids during that time. So, Neola, Carrie, please stand. Their other partner, Helena, is not with them today, but, you know, that's all right. We'll get her. I think she tied down because she heard what I was doing. Now, since it's Foundations Month, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at foundations. We can look at foundations of a home. We can look at, you know, when you talk about spiritual foundations, we can look at foundations just as Christ is our foundation. We can look at it as just foundational truths that we're looking through, you know, baptism, communion, things. And throughout this week, you know, I was preparing the sermon and going about my duties, you know, just that I do, you know. But those of you who don't know, you know, I'm a mental health counselor, but I'm also the youth pastor. So, you know, I was just kind of going about. And throughout my going about, you know, I kind of encountered different people in different just areas of life. And it was just seemed like the whole week was just about just needing a catharsis, just needing just a time just to sit back and just rest and just breathe. And in one particular encounter, I was talking to a person, and they were kind of establishing, you know, where their foundation was when it came to needing that level of peace and steady. And I was like, well, you know, my foundation is in Christ. You know, that's where he is, you know. And he was, you know, kind of looking at me like, you know, well, you know, I'm kind of a nihilist, you know, I don't believe that anything has any kind of worth in anything. And I sat back and looked at that. I was like, it just seemed so nebulous, so thin, so, you know, when things went wrong, when things started to shake and the winds and rains came in, what did you have to stand on? And it made me kind of sit back and go, well, okay then. Yeah, I know it's in Christ, but where do I go to stand? Where is it that I go in the scripture to, when things are starting to blow, to stand? And one of my favorite sets of scripture is Psalms 91. And the first verse of that says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." And as soon as I read shelter, it kind of came to me like, whenever the storms are raging, all I have to do is come in the house.
Yes.
So today, this morning, my topic this morning is coming in the house. Coming in the house. Psalms 91, like I said, starts, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, this beginning verse of Psalms 91, which is attributed sometimes to David, and as I was reading through, is also has been thought to be attributed also to Moses. So we're not really sure, but whoever it was had to be a seeker. Well, why would you say that, Elder Bobby? Well, I say that because here we have a person that knows where the dwelling of God is. See, they had two choices of types of shelters that they could select. They could have selected a more sandier shelter, a little sandier foundation, a foundation that had a little bit more sway to it. You know, if you know, imagine having a realtor show you a house, and that house was on a sandy beach. You know, it might look beautiful. It might have all the right trimmings, nice open concept, and you know, staircases going up, spindles and chandeliers. But when they take you down into the basement and they show you that as well as basically hanging on to one leg, not really sturdy enough for what's going to come, you probably decide that you really don't want this place, as pretty as it is. Then they kind of take you down the road to King Street. And on King Street, you go through this narrow gate, and the road is fairly well paved, and you see this nice firm ground and this nice beautiful home that seems to stand really firm. And in King Street, you are there and you feel instantly at home. You feel as if you've been just embraced by something, because there's something secure about the space. This first verse of Psalms 91 is just that. It's a person's selection of a firm foundation. It's a person's selection of a place where they know that they can be embraced by God and know that God's presence is there. And knowing that by selecting him, they have not only selected a partner, but they have selected a guard, a guide, a person, a protector, a provider, a keeper. You see, when we're in times of troubles in our lives, we have that choice of selecting a sandier foundation or a firm one. We tend towards sandy foundations when we think that we can do it all on our own. It's a lot easier if we just do it. I can make changes. I can be a little bit more maneuverable. But when we get and stand on that firm foundation, well, see, it comes in and of itself with a promise. Because you're promised to be in the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, if you were here last week, I talked about power. You are selecting the authority under which you're going to be under. You're selecting to be under the power and authority of God, which means he's got all things under control, and all you have to do is just stand in his way. So this first verse really helped me along in selecting that foundation. Well, once you select that foundation, you might want to go take a look at the house. And this particular house that the Lord has, if you go into verse 2, it says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see, this particular house that you're going to reside in when times are going on has two very distinct functions. It is a refuge and a fortress. Now, when we think of refuge, what do we normally think of? Well, we normally think of a place that we run to. Or we think of a place that even when the worst is going on, that we just kind of get into and just kind of hide and curl up into. It's a place of shelter when times are going hard. When, as the next few verses talk about, when the fowler's snare starts to come at you, when the pestilence starts to come at you. In other words, it's a place where when the things of life that start to drag at your life, whether they be storms of fear, whether they be storms of disease, whether they be rains of divorce, whether it be whatever it is that comes against you, you are allowed a place in the shelter. Throughout the week, like I said, I saw a lot of people that were looking for a shelter, a place just to kind of go into and remain into. Because they feared that, hey, well, maybe life just wasn't going to make it the way that they wanted. All of these circumstances started going up, and they just needed just a place just to hide. We all need a place to hide. And God gives us that place. God gives us the ability to hide. Matter of fact, every time that he mentions refuge, he tells us in Psalms 18, 1 through 3, he says that your refuge is a firm foundation. It's one made of stone and fortified, solid. It's a place where I can bring you strength, where I can help you endure, where you are allowed to praise in all circumstances. Or he'll throw you over to the Psalms 46 and tell you that you're in a place where you're covered up and protected, and despite the natural calamities that are shaking things around you that loom bigger than you, that he's got it and nothing can shake your faith. Or he takes you over into Psalms 144. Where he just tells you how mindful he is. Yeah. I mean, just think about that. That in all of the people that are around, with everything that's going on, the billionaire over here or the celebrity over here, the one that gets all the acclaim, that the mighty God of heaven is mindful of you. Hallelujah. And that nothing is too small for him to say, oh, I got your back. I'm right here by your side. Come on, let's proceed on. You see, God's home is a refuge when we're kind of have our back and turning away. But then what about those times when our enemies are really attacking? When they're doing a purposeful kind of a frontal attack upon yourself, upon your family. And you're just mad, you're spitting mad, and you're ready to just blow, and you're just ready to attack. Well, then he transforms that home from that nice, comforting refuge place to a fortress. A place that is fortified so much that it's so covered that you can attack and there's nothing else that's going to get in front of you. It's so foreign that I don't care what arrows are coming at you. He's got a block, block. He's got a force field sitting in front of him.
Yeah. Come on now.
It's a place that's so fortified that he brings up the lion and the adder. Okay? Think about that. The great snakes that come against you. Those little secretive little things that try to get you from back behind. The people that try to hurt you, you know, the hurt ones, you know how they say hurt people, hurt people? Mm-hmm. Those folks that are backed up in the corner kind of looking back at you going, I know I'm going to get you just so you can see how I feel. Mm-hmm. How those other folks those get that big frontal attack, those are your lions. Those are the ones that just come straight up to you. To take you on and take your attack. Those are the things, like our, even some of our fears or even some of our diseases. You know, we sometimes sit back and think that we're just powerless against the attacks that come against us. That's us going back into, when you get into those areas in life where we feel as if we just have no power, and we start to go back into a place where we think we have to do it within our own strength, God says, look, no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. See, when we begin to look at God, and when we begin to look at God as our refuge and our fortress, we begin to change the focus that we have on our problems and our issues. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You see, if you stand there and you're forever looking at your problem, saying, I'm going to get better from that, I'm going to cure that, I'm going to... All you're doing is looking at your problem. Maybe you're progressing a little bit, but you're walking backwards. You don't really see where you're going, so you can't really focus on the prize that's coming.
All right.
But when you turn around and you see that wonderful God that's there, when you see the salvation that's there, it's another reason why I like fortress, is because every time they mention it, they mention it with salvation. So with God as your salvation, that with God as your fortress, that means he is your salvation of things that are attacking. So why look at the things that are attacking? Why not look at the victory that's on this way? Our focus on our God makes our victory more evident, more prominent, more imminent. That's the word. But then, appreciate him. Because as he does that, goes through, he decides that he wants to give us a lifetime guarantee. Y'all know how you get those houses, and the houses have warranties on them, on their everything? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to pay that much money for all those warranties. That's just me. Verse 14 through 16 says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. These last three verses, it's not what Moses is trying to say that he's going to do. This is what God was promising to us. God was saying, look, because you love me, I will rescue you. Because you love me, I will take care of those diseases. Because you love me, I will be your comforter when a loved one goes away. Because you love me, I will help you study for those tests that are coming. Because you love me, I am there to rescue you from those that are out to harm you. He will call upon him, and I will answer him. I skipped the verse. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. In other words, look, all you got to do is contact me. He's on the hotline saying, hey, here's the number. When the appliance breaks in the house, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to call the insurance folks, and they're supposed to come on out. You pay your little $75 fee, and they send somebody out and fix the thing, right? Well, with God, there is no fear. All I got to do is call him up. Tell him what I want. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will deliver him and honor him. I will take you out and then build you up. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We strive to do so much to live every day. We exercise, we eat right, we try to wear the right kind of clothes and deal with the right atmospheres and everything. But how often do we really go to the one place that promises us long life? How often in the harshest of times do we go to a place where he's already promised us rest? Our hardest times are our greatest times of victory. Because if we can rest in the loving arms of God, then we can place our fears to the side, put our enemies behind us, and march forward to the life that God has promised. For he has promised us long life, because he is our salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being our salvation. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, we pray that you would press it upon their hearts right now to select you as their foundation. Father, we pray that you press it upon their hearts right now to lay aside that need to control every aspect of life and to give you control. Father, we pray that if there's those here that do know you and they're just having a hard time embracing the salvation that you've promised, we pray, Father, that you would just right now just touch them. You promised them a comforter. Lord, send that comforter and just ignite them a little bit within their souls. Remind them that he is always there. Give them a little squinch to let them know that they are protected and are saved. Lord, and for those of us who just need a chance to rest, we thank you for your place of rest, for your refuge and your fortress. Lord, we praise you this day. And we give you all glory. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the grace. It's in Jesus' name.